Today, before we begin our chapel, we'd like to offer two prayers, or prayers for two individuals. One is Reverend Larry Wensloff, who up until a year ago was often in our chapel services with his office on campus. He's now retired, but due to the effects of COVID, is presently now on a ventilator. And then also Professor Chris Merritt, who had to, likewise with COVID, receive a tracheotomy and is on a ventilator. So let us begin by offering a prayer on their behalf. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of your servants Larry and Chris. We thank you for granting them great medical care. We pray, Lord, that through these wonderful blessings that you might bring them safely through this ordeal, and if it is your will, restore them again to full and better health. We pray also for the members of their family that you would be with them during these difficult days. Remind all of us of the brevity of this life and the need for having the wisdom that comes down from above through the knowledge of Christ our Savior. We pray all of this in his saving name. Amen. Please join me then in the Office of Prime, as you find beginning on page 108 in the front part of your hymn book. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be forevermore. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you through my own fault in thought, word, and deed. For the sake of the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, forgive me all my sin, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated for our scripture reading. A little context for our reading today, which is taken from Genesis chapter 27. We are in the lives of the patriarchs, Jacob and then his brother Esau. The parents, Isaac and Rebekah, were told been grieved by the fact that Esau has gone off and married someone, in fact, a couple of wives who are not of the faith. And this has had a dramatic impact now on their family. This week in the Christian church, we recognize Christ's presence at the wedding of Cana, and our devotions this week focus on the importance of family and the relationships and how that affects us in our spiritual lives. So we read from Genesis chapter 27, beginning with verse 46. And Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like those who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?" Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. One of my good friends in college used to stay up late with me. We roomed together for a couple months at one point, and we used to stay up late, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes, talking. And I particularly remember some of our discussions had to do around becoming a pastor someday. I was considering it at the time, and he was too. In fact, I would say he was even further along in thinking about it than I was. 3 years later, he completely stopped going to church for the most part. And I always thought, how do you go from wanting to go become a pastor to just completely abandoning the Christian faith? How does that happen? Well, what really happened was he fell in love with somebody that really didn't care about Christ and his word, and that took his heart away. Solomon had the same thing happen to him with his many wives. We're told that they stole his heart away from God. And we see that concern on the minds of the parents, Rebekah and Isaac. They had seen the troubles that had happened in Esau's life because of whom he had gone off to marry, his poor decisions of somebody that he began to court and so on. And regarding the selection of these wives from among the heathen, it probably brought difficulty into their family gatherings. It probably brought trouble into just how they looked at life and how they talked about things. Family get-togethers were probably a little bit tough now. And maybe they started seeing troubles even in their grandkids, started to recognize that because of who their son had married, this was now showing up in their grandchildren. And you can see this play out in the pages of Genesis. There are challenges that happen to us in our lives, in our family lives, when we're not on the same page spiritually with somebody. Sometimes it might be just the discomfort of discussing certain issues, or when somebody doesn't really care about the things of God, it puts everything into a kind of uncomfortable position. I have a relative that talks about when he goes to his in-laws, his wife is a believer, but when he goes to his in-laws who are not, he says you just have to avoid a lot of different topics. And it really becomes more magnified when you bring children into the picture. When you start having kids and your role is now to pass on this precious faith and what God says about things to your children, that's when it really starts to you really start to see the importance of all of this. And as we see in Isaac and Rebekah, it's a heartache for believing parents to watch their child now get connected to an unbeliever. This summer, I was at a wedding reception, and a man came up to me whose child had gone here to Bethany, his daughter, many years ago. And he said to me, "I'm still angry at Bethany." I said, "Why?" He was a pastor. And he said, "Because my daughter started dating an unbeliever at Bethany. How could you have let that happen?" I said, "Well, I wasn't here at the time, but..." And he said, "How could they have let that happen?" I said, "Well, that could happen anywhere. It can happen on any campus, even a Christian college campus, that can happen." And the more I talked to him, he realized that was true. And I was happy to hear that his daughter had later found a good believing husband. But you could still sense the anger in his voice when he talked to me about it. That's how big of a deal this was in his family. It has an impact into how we relate to people in our families. We need to remember there's no neutral ground when it comes to Christ and the gospel. Jesus says, "He who is not for me is against me." St. Paul puts out the warning to all Christians when he says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers." And you start to really see and realize how truly spiritual life is when you get down into the inner workings of the family. God's word and what it has to say touches every aspect of our day-to-day lives. The Christian faith is not just about taking us to heaven through faith in Christ, which is, of course, the most important. By faith in him, we have the righteous robe of Christ covering us and the wonderful forgiveness of all sins, and we have the wonderful hope of the resurrection. And that's truly the most important thing that it's about. But it also has a lot to say about how we live life, how we treat each other in the home, how we look at our money, how we look at life in general, and guiding us on that path to heaven as well. The gospel brings with it a transforming power for people that they carry back into their homes. Think about Zacchaeus. As soon as he learns about Christ as his Savior, how it just transforms how he looks at himself and his money and everything. The woman at the well, she'd been married 5 times and she was living with a guy in sin right now. And Christ confronts her with her sin. He doesn't just pass it off. He deals with it, confronts her with his sin. And she goes in and realizes how much she needs a Savior and invites people to come and hear Christ. Mary Magdalene is another one. So the gospel, when it comes into a person's heart and into their home then, it transforms their home life as well. And when the Holy Spirit makes his presence now known in the home, that brings a sanctifying potential for faith to be present there for people. And it suddenly brings a heavenly perspective on all the important matters of life. And so when Christ is treasured and confessed in the home, he brings along with him his very presence because his word is himself. And he brings along also a certain peace that comes to us as well. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't realize in my life how important that was until I got away from Christian homes, until I started being in the homes of people of unbelievers, which really didn't happen probably till I was in college. And I started to realize the daily peace that is just present because of the gospel and that wonderful focus on the most important things of life. So Jacob is sent off and he now heads off on his search for a spouse among fellow believers. And along with him goes the messianic blessing of the coming Christ. That now travels with him in that search. And may that also be the case for you too in your life, should you choose to search for a spouse. May the wonderful blessings of Christ in your heart travel with you and be foremost in your mind. Amen. Please rise for the responsory on page 108. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. O Lord Jesus, seated at the right hand of God, have mercy upon us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. Arise, O Christ, and help us, and deliver us for your name's sake. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, bright sun of the world, shine upon my spirit and drive away the night of sin, that I may walk in your holy light all my life and even forevermore. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord Almighty order this day and all our doings in his peace. Amen.